This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum. Brothers and sisters, welcome to our show. My name is Abdullah Raishan. And with me, I have got a very special guest tonight. We would like to first thank Sheikh Ibrahim Meng from Zimbabwe for accepting our invitation and coming all the way from Zimbabwe to actually join our program that is being carried at Masjid al-Nur after Salat al-Asr. Before going into a couple of questions, we would like to actually ask from Sheikh about a little introduction about him and then how he got into the studies and, you know, a little bit about the Sheikh so that we get to know him better. Sheikh.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Jazakallahu khairan, first of all, for your lovely welcome, subhanAllah. And I actually felt more welcome as soon as I arrived in the Maldives in an amazing way, because the brothers were there to pick us up from the airport and they've been with us, you know, throughout. As for my studies in Zimbabwe, subhanAllah, I started at a very young age with my granddad. I must have been 4 to 5 years old when I began to study Alif and Ba. And from there I progressed studying the Quran, learning it. I managed to complete my hifth under the supervision of my grandfather, alhamdulillah. And then later on, we began to study the Arabic language with him, and we went through the tafsir, the entire tafsir of the Quran. And the benefit of this, I find right up until today. Because subhanAllah, after that, I went on to study in Madinah Munawwara. And yes, definitely, there are amazing benefits of studying there. There are amazing scholars that are there. But I didn't have the opportunity to go through the entire tafsir in Madinah Munawwara. So this really benefited me in a very great way, alhamdulillah. Basically, that's a short introduction to who I am, yes.
From the introduction itself, I would like to ask, you know, for a small, you know, guidance to our brothers. Because what we see with our brothers is that, myself included, we wait until the last minute, you know. Even if for applying for a scholarship, we do not actually start the studies until we are at the Jamia, or we actually, until even when we at Jamia, we do not actually start from there. We actually wait until the session starts. So what kind of advice would you actually give to the brothers in the Maldives, into those who are actually going into studies?
Subhanallah, this is something interesting. Once you've made a firm intention, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَإِذَا عَزَمْتَ فَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ. So once you have made that decision, then trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and begin. Don't delay. Because the minute you delay, then shaitan has an opportunity to begin to play with your intention. He wants to get rid of that intention because he doesn't want goodness for you. Now, there is another benefit from this as well. Because when a person learns with the local scholars, with the local people and the imams that are there, then he naturally learns about the environment that he is in as well. Whereas when we go out to study to another place, it is definitely beneficial. But we learn it from their perspective in their environment and works for them. So the person comes back and he's got an understanding of both, this one and that one. Whereas a person who only studies outside and then comes back does not truly understand the circumstance, the situations, the difficulties, the challenges that are faced by the mashayikh at home. So I really find that this is something very beneficial for a student to study with the local scholars. And once he has reached a level, then he can go with, or as soon as his acceptance comes through, perhaps he can go and study outside.
Very true. I think that's a very relevant, very good point that you actually addressed there. Moving on with the actual issues or the topic, the whole purpose of the program, we will actually, I will ask the first question, you know, the first kind of a topic. We would like to actually keep it very relevant to what is actually, you know, the issues that we are facing on a daily basis. So we find that, you know, it brothers who is actually getting caught in a wrong act, ending up in the wrong places, you know. So which is the hot topic everywhere now, which is also the reason why as all the Muslims are being actually labeled, you know, or looked down upon. So what would you actually, how does this actually start, and why, how come the brothers are actually misguided in going to somewhere which they shouldn't be.
Subhanallah, shaitan comes to you from two different places. So he either comes from the perspective of desires. And when a young man, especially I mention a young man, because he is in the prime of his youth, he is involved in haram. And all of a sudden he finds Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then shaitan realizes that I've lost hope with this man when it comes to perhaps haram relationships, when it comes to alcohol, when it comes to drugs, because he's changed his life. So he comes to him from the point of doubts. And he comes and begins to harness that lovely, eager, amazing zeal that he has in order to go out and serve the deen. Shaitan comes and harnesses that and uses it in the wrong direction. And shaitan comes in many forms. We know very well that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, مِنْ شَرِّ الْوَسْوَاسِ الْخَنَّاسِ الَّذِي يُوَسْوِسُ فِي صُدُورِ النَّاسِ مِنَ الْجِنَّةِ وَالنَّاسِ. From the jinn kind and from the mankind as well. So you will find individuals who will come and harness that evil. In fact, it is a good feeling. It is a good, you know, feeling that this young man has. He has the zeal to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But shaitan comes and harnesses that goodness and turns it into something bad, something evil. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, هُلِكَ الْمُتَنَطِّعُونَ. Those who are extreme, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will destroy them. They are destroyed. In fact, their own actions will destroy them. And these young men and young women who are engaged in these things, all they need to do, they don't need to listen to me. They don't need to listen to the next sheikh. All they need to do is go back to those who came back from the regions wherein they were engaged in this extremism. Ask them, what is happening out there? Find out the reality before you embark on something that you have no idea what you are doing. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect us and protect our youth.
As you very likely said, Shaykh, we find brothers who is actually in the masjid, you know, who's actually had that, created closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But after a while, they actually change. They become muftis or they become scholars themselves, you know, and they actually do not actually listen to anybody else. What kind of advice would you actually give to brothers like this?
Subhanallah, the reality is that the more you know, the more tolerant you become of other opinions. And the less you know, the less tolerant you are of other opinions. Because when you see ilm, if we take it and look at it as an entire picture that we have in front of us, then you will find that this young man, even if he has got, assuming that he has the correct knowledge, he has a very small pixel of understanding. He does not see the entire picture. And that is why you find that most of the time, these people who come and begin to bash others or fight others immediately begin to, you know, literally fire at others, they have the least knowledge amongst the scholars. They actually have very little knowledge and they have not seen even a quarter or a third of that picture. And as a result, they come and they just bash at everyone. So it is a very dangerous situation to be in. When a person understands and he's got a wholesome picture of what's going on, then he will not, and this is a sign of a scholar, he will not bash at others willy-nilly. Yes, there may come a time where he wants to draw a straight line, but he will come and draw that straight line next to the crooked line and he will leave it and continue. Because the minute you begin to engage in, okay, this man was wrong, that man was wrong, that man was... There are so many paths that are wrong. But if you draw a straight line next to it and move and continue, this is from the hikmah and the wisdom that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bestowed very few, in fact. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us wisdom in our manner of da'wah.
Shaykh, do you believe that Google or self-learned people. You know, there's an argument now, you don't really need to go to a madrasa, so you can actually be self-learned. You can actually refer to the Quranic translation, and then you can refer to hadith books, and then you can learn. You don't necessarily need to actually go to any scholar or any madrasa or any university to actually learn deen. Is that true? You know, you can just Google up anything and then you can actually, you know, decide on what you want to do.
That cannot be further from the truth. So, when you Google something, we all know very well that you can find anything on Google, anything whatsoever. So, you don't know who you're taking from when you take from Google. But I will say that let's have a balance of the situation. So a person who goes and studies and learns from a sheikh, sometimes we begin to love this sheikh so much that we become blind to his mistakes as well. Sure. So we should have a balance where we understand and check what the sheikh is saying in the light of the Quran and the Sunnah. See the other opinions. Open our minds to understand that there is or there are other opinions that believe sometimes the complete opposite, and they may be right. Mm-hmm. So when we have extreme love or extreme hate for someone or something, we tend to become blind to their good or bad characteristics. So if we have extreme love for the sheikh, you'll find that I only see goodness from the sheikh. He beams with nur in my eyes.
Everything he says is
golden. Truth. Everything he says is golden. And when a person we hate and despise him, then immediately, even if he speaks the truth, we hate what he says. So we've got to be in between, and we've got to keep our emotions in check to the extent that we understand that everyone makes a mistake. Everyone has correct opinions and wrong opinions. Yeah. And this is why Imam Malik ibn Anas, rahimahullah ta'ala, he would actually say that there is nobody on earth that does not make a mistake and get it correct at times. إِلَّا صَاحِبَ هَذَا الْقَبْرِ. And he pointed to the grave of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He says, except for this companion of this grave, the man who is in the grave is the one who is the only one who never made a mistake. Why? He never sinned. Why? Because مَا يَنْطِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَى. He does not speak from his own desire. إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيٌ يُوحَى. It is only but revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when we hear from a sheikh, let us be balanced and let us understand that yes, it is important to study from the mashayikh, but learn from various mashayikh and see the various opinions and then come up with a conclusion perhaps. And if our sheikh is wrong, then excuse him and follow that which is the truth. And if he is right and correct, then of course we will submit to him but to the truth, to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
How could one actually, looking through the different scholars, understand that this person is right or that person has a correct opinion? How a normal person, you know, who's actually searching through the internet or watching videos, can actually define or understand or conclude that he is right? How can he actually do that?
There are certain issues that are very clear, that we all know very well of. For example, like salah, our zakah, our hajj, our fasting, our shahada, and so on and so forth. These are quite easy for us to distinguish when a person is talking about something that we've never heard of. So when you hear of something that you've never heard of, then don't just discard it immediately, but go and find out. Do a bit of research. You know, it will sound strange to you immediately. This sounds a bit strange, but I'm not going to judge. Let me go and find out. Perhaps it is my ignorance. Perhaps it is the fact that I don't know. I've not come across it. And many a time, subhanAllah, you'll find that you go and you find out, and it is actually our own ignorance where we have not seen that opinion or we are not aware of it. And subhanAllah, in this manner, we can actually have a distinguishing between what is right and wrong. Most of the time, from what I find, if you are within a certain scope of understanding, then you will not find speech that is completely deviant or completely wrong or completely... Most of the time it is within a certain scope of reasonable understanding, which is acceptable in the Sharia.
How would one, address when there is a khilafah, meaning among the scholars there is a dispute? Certain people tend to actually, what they do is they actually try what suits me best. Especially when they're searching through the scholars, when they're trying to take a fatwa, they actually try to find, if there's a dispute between a certain issues, they try to see what fits best to them, Is that the right way to actually act upon it?
Absolutely not, subhanAllah. That would be the completely wrong way to go about things, because Islam is about finding the truth, establishing the truth. I mean, from its inception and from its beginning, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came not to conform to what was going on with Quraysh, but he came to draw a distinguishing line between what was right and wrong. And that is literally what Islam did. It is al-furqan bayna al-haqqi wal-batil. It is literally the distinguishing line between falsehood and the correct path. So in order for a person to come and say that, you know what, I want this to happen because I love such a thing, that would be completely wrong, because as we mentioned, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ma yantiqu anil hawa. He did not speak from his own desire. Had he spoken from his own desire, perhaps things would have not been where they are today. We would have not had Islam. The people would have not been guided. But Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ma yantiqu anil hawa. He does not speak from his own desire. In huwa illa wahyun yuha. Indeed, it is only nothing but clear and pure revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that is the manhaj nabawi. That is the way of the messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
We have actually, our time is up for today. We hope to actually come back with Sheikh with a new topic, inshallah, in the next episode. Thank you very much for joining us. We'll see you. Have a good evening.